Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich, winners of the Brokers Ireland Investment Excellence Award each year since 2014. Now that's reassuring.
Now, thought the Simon Harris has told a trade forum that US tariffs of 10% on exports from Ireland will be the new normal, but that efforts are continuing to agree zero for zero taxes in some key areas. The meeting in Dublin takes place a week before the scheduled lifting of a pause on higher tariffs by US President Donald Trump. Well, joining us now to discuss this is Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment. And Minister, you're very welcome to the programme. I want to talk to you about tariffs, obviously, but before we get to that, I want to ask you about breaking news this afternoon in relation to Microsoft and the news that they are cutting 9,000 jobs worldwide. They employ over 4,000 people here in Ireland, and a further 2,000 people are employed at its subsidiary LinkedIn. How concerned are you by this news?
Thank you for having me on, Sarah. We are concerned with any job losses, and obviously I will be liaising closely with Microsoft over the coming hours and supporting any employees who are made redundant. From my perspective, first of all, I think if we have a look at the huge RD&I project that Microsoft is currently carrying out and employing new jobs and have a significant amount of jobs that are open now, they will significantly outweigh this loss. Notwithstanding that, I know for families who are awaiting news, it is a very difficult time. And what I would say is that in an economy where we have about 2.81 million people employed at the moment, which is an all-time record, 90,000 jobs over the last year, there is a significant amount of churn in the IT sector. And what you can see going on is that in the collective redundancy notices that I get every week, which people may get it hard to understand considering the employment that we have, is that there is a sub-tier level of employees who are at risk, and you can see that in operations and sales, but equally those companies are also employing on high tech and innovative projects. So the key thing for Ireland as an economy is that we need to ensure that we are well capable of grasping that opportunity on AI, that our infrastructure is sharp, and that's why our competitive action plan in July, as well as the review of the NDP, will be key in that regard.
And just finally then on Microsoft, do you have any indication at this point of the number of redundancies that there might be in Ireland specifically?
So I understand the company will disclose numbers at due course. It's currently meeting with employees that are affected in a town hall style. So that has to conclude first before I'm actually formally notified of what the numbers are going to be.
All right, we might move on to tariffs then. And Taoiseach Simon Harris saying today that US tariffs of 10% on exports from Ireland will be the new normal. Is that a guarantee then now? Is that what we can just expect?
So obviously we saw when the UK framework was agreed, a 10% baseline was established at that juncture. Notwithstanding, their framework included quotas for automotives and beef as well, which is a very significant challenge. But we've seen, as negotiations have progressed with a number of different countries, that 10% keeps popping up on the horizon. So what we need to ensure is that, first of all, we get the best deal we can, but secondly, that we have key sectors like our life science sector, like our aircraft leasing, where about 65% of all global fleet are leased from Ireland, which is very significant, and other sectors like semiconductors. We have so many important sectors that we need to ensure that we get and protect if we can in this process. So it is very open still. I'd be hopeful rather than confident of a deal by the 9th, but obviously that is the trajectory that it seems to be going.
So you mentioned a couple of industries there that you want to keep free from tariffs. What about pharmaceuticals? You didn't mention them, or the food and drinks industry, the Irish Farmers Association, very concerned.
So life science is pharmaceuticals. It's okay. Made up of biopharma and med tech and diagnostics. And it's key that we do get a deal that mirrors the World Trade Organization has very much established practice, where a 0% tariff has also been there. And those other sectors you've referenced are very low margin and under pressure. So if you take, for example, our agri-foods, you know, if we have a 10% baseline tariff, there are already tariffs there in situ that would be put on top of that. If your margin is 8 or 9% at the moment, it makes it very difficult for you to do business. That's why we have Enterprise Ireland working very closely with those exporters, trying to hive out additional productivity. We've been doing that already over the last number of months, and I'll bring forward to Cabinet a market diversification plan, which will look at trying to get new markets, but also supporting us to try and retain some of that high value market that we have.
But are they on the list, the food and drinks exports, are they on the list of priorities to avoid the 10% tariff?
Oh, absolutely. We would be trying to avoid as many as we can, but we can't guarantee anything, Sarah. And even the ones I've referenced, like our life science, like our semiconductors, we can't make a determination on that. Obviously, Mauro Šefčovič is doing the negotiations. We're feeding in and trying to ensure Ireland's priorities. And the Taoiseach Simon Harris has been very clear in terms of the trade forum today, the work that we are doing to try and ensure that our voice counts in this process.
There was a forum today that received an economic assessment of the impact of tariffs from Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue. I know it's very difficult given we don't know exactly what we're going to end up with, but Pascal Donoghue said the Irish economy would continue to grow this year and next, but at a lower pace than it would if there were no tariffs. At this point, what is the government forecasting? Because we were told in March that up to 75,000 jobs could be affected.
So it's very difficult to assess because we have almost a century without very significant tariff wars like we've seen with the US administration. In the work that we have done and the models that we carried out for a 10% tariff, you would see a reduction in GDP about 1.5% and you would see about 25,000 less jobs created. But it's very hard to assess that because some of these key industries will depend on what those sectoral deals are. So it's very hard to have an exact model. And we see today from the IDA, you know, when there is uncertainty, we have a 37% increase in investment into our country, 179 investments, 10,000 new jobs, which is very important. So things are still moving and the economy is still performing, but there are clouds and there are uncertainties that we have to protect ourselves from.
25,000 less jobs created under the 10% scenario. Does that include any job losses specifically?
It says year on year there will just be less jobs created, but okay, we will continue creating jobs. That's the key thing.
Okay.
But Sarah, all these come with a health warning.
I understand that, yeah.
It's very difficult to predict the future.
Simon McKeever is the CEO of the Irish Exporters Association, and he's saying that his organisation would suggest the introduction of a remission scheme to help Irish firms. This is similar to a system in Canada that offers rebates to some companies that are affected by US tariffs. Is that something under consideration by the Irish government?
No, so at the moment we're focusing on, first of all, hiving out additional productivity. We have a number of supports there that Enterprise Ireland has repurposed. We've met over 1,000 clients over the last 2 months. So that just shows you the work that we're doing, trying to increase productivity and also then trying to help clients diversify, because there are a number of other markets that the EU has free trade agreements with that we haven't hived out all the opportunity from yet. And we need to have our eye firmly on the ball. That's why the Taoiseach and myself will be embarking upon a trade mission to Canada later on this year. I've just come from Japan in the Asia Pacific region last week, again, which we got some very significant investments from our FDI sector, but also from our indigenous sector, which are employing people and exporting, which are continue to grow steadily over the last number of years.
Yeah, and that is all positive. But if there is 10% tariffs going to be permanent now and perhaps brought in for some industries that don't have them at the moment, are you saying the government has no plans at the moment for any supports for businesses, financial supports for businesses?
Well, we are giving financial support in terms of improving productivity. We're giving very significant
financial support for businesses.
We are giving financial support in relation to productivity for those who are exporting to those markets. We are giving financial support for RD&I investments, trying to hive out additional efficiencies. But as I said, Sarah, I have no line of sight on what sectors are going to be get agreement with, which ones are going to be more vulnerable yet. It depends on what the framework will be like. And obviously, government will assess that at that point in time. I'm bringing forward an action plan on market diversification in July and also an action plan on competitiveness. And that will try and hive out those efficiencies and also try and make our economy as competitive, as efficient as we possibly can. Because we are very aware, I am very aware, that yesterday's proposition won't continue to attract investment into our country. We still need to invest heavily in our infrastructure, in our grid, in our water, in our wastewater, water and housing. They have to be key for us to ensure that we are attractive for additional investment into the future.
Yeah, and that was actually a point raised by the IDA boss Michael Lohan today. He pointed to things like energy, the grid, water, transport, housing. And we have major, major problems there when it comes to attracting new business or indeed keeping the business that we have, don't we?
Well, we have major successes too. You can see, as I pointed out, that we have a 37% increase of new clients coming into our economy over the first 6 months of this year. And when you consider the economic uncertainty, and 65% of those are from the US. So that shows you how well we're doing in some regards. But we have challenges, absolutely. And that's why over the next decade and beyond, we have to invest significantly in our grid. If you really look at it at this point in time, we're investing about 14.8 billion euro in capital expenditure. That's up 107% from 2019. So for a small open economy, we're really ramping up capital expenditure, and that will really transform communities right across this country. We have 135 billion euro currently.
I know, but the problem, Minister, isn't it though, that like the capital expenditure that you might be planning over the next decade, it's coming too late, isn't it? Because we're
now
at a point where housing,
absolutely not,
where we're seeing housing, for example, being delayed because they can't get connected to the electricity grid. You know, that's where we're at.
Well, if you see those investments unfolding right now, we have two interconnectors which will treble our interconnectivity capacity by next year. One is currently up and running. We have a very significant pipeline for onshore wind together with significant for solar, 9 gigawatts of onshore by 2030, 8 gigawatts of solar. Considering our country uses 6 gigawatts, that's a very strong pipeline that's under delivery right now. And that's not even looking at our offshore, which we're trying to get 5 gigawatts by 2030. We have 6 projects currently in the planning process on the East Coast. But if you look at the research partnerships we have in this country, we have Insight, we have Cedar in Trinity, we have Nybert in UCD, we have DMI in Limerick, we have Tyndall in Cork. Those are really commercialising research which are on board for our companies, both Indigenous and our FDI sector, which are really putting us at the cutting edge of innovation, getting new product lines and embedding IP in our economy, which is very significant for our future proposition.
The Business Post reporting today that Ireland is wasting 450 million euro in wind energy because of grid constraints.
We have to improve our grid, and that's why we have to find a mechanism as a government how we invest in it. The key thing is that we don't want to put it onto end user. That's why we need about 1.1 billion euro at least from 2025 and beyond, because we do know the arteries that get our power generation around the country are very significant under pressure. But we have solutions before that. Critically, private wires will provide a big solution for large energy users, which will allow them connect to the grid with their own renewable generation on site. And that legislation will be published shortly. So we are in a strong position in many of those areas.
I want to ask you separately about news from Minister Thosh, the Simon Harris, today saying he wants to see the new rules on labelling of alcohol products to be deferred. Some alcohol products already have labels on their bottles. What's this about? What's the reasoning for this?
Well, the reasoning is that we're obviously in a very constrained position when you look at our competitiveness as an economy. Some sectors, and critically the agri-foods and drinks sector, is under very significant pressures as a competitive piece. And that's why we want to try and ensure that we're improving margins and giving them an opportunity in the short term. Like, we've had huge amount of change. We've had the Public Health Alcohol Bill. We've had advertising reform, sponsorship reform. We have the minimum pricing in alcohol, promotions, retail. All that has been tackled. And we've seen at this point in time a third reduction in consumption per adult in our alcohol, 4.5% alone last year. We're not at the
all
head
positive,
of the OECD.
Obviously, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. All positive.
Diageo met you and the Taoiseach and the Minister of Agriculture on May 25th to discuss the impact of US tariffs and the EU response. Did they raise this at that meeting?
They have raised it in the past with me. I'm not sure at that meeting that you referenced. I can't remember meeting them at that time. I just have to check my diary because I've loads of meetings every single day. But it was raised at a trade forum today by a number of speakers, not from the alcohol sector, of how it is a threat by sectoral representatives. And it's an important sector.
A threat
that we
to
have
what, though? A threat to what?
Competitiveness. To jobs. To critically jobs in that sector. And that's why our premium is trying to retain jobs. We have a lot of reforms carried out and we should continue those reforms, but it's having the balance, having that proportionality to ensure we're not putting jobs at risk.
And have they told you how many jobs is going to put at risk, or have you questioned, have you seen any evidence that it's going to put jobs
absolutely.
At risk?
There's a significant amount of, be it distilleries in this country, that have stopped production right now, Sarah. I'm hearing the evidence of it every single day.
Specifically because of alcohol labelling, or is that because
it's
of what's
one
going
of the
on
factors.
With the tariffs?
It's one of the factors.
But is it the main factor?
No, it's not, because many of them are exporting. It's not the main factor, yeah. But it is one of the factors.
But it would have to be a significant factor, wouldn't it, to make a decision like this that is so potentially beneficial to people's health? I mean, we were speaking to Frank Murray, who's a liver specialist in Beaumont, on this programme just a couple of weeks ago. He's with Alcohol Action Ireland as well. And he was crystal clear about the health benefits and the need for something like this to inform people of the potential damage they're doing to their health.
And I am crystal clear of the progress that we're making. I referenced that we're 4.5% down on last year. I listed through the Public Health Alcohol Bill all the key reforms that we've had. We're the second highest for wine excise in Europe. We're the third highest for spirits and beer. We are doing a huge amount to reform how people take alcohol. We have a lot more work to do. But I'm the Enterprise Minister. I'm speaking to you as someone who puts a premium on jobs. And it's important that very regional jobs right across our country are being threatened by competitive challenges. And And one of those is our alcohol labelling. And it's important that we reflect upon that. And obviously public health have to look at these things from a different prism. But I can articulate evidence that we're reducing our alcohol intake, evidence of the reform under legislation, and also evidence by some of the clients that I deal with that are under pressure.
Can I ask you just finally then, now is not the right time. When is the right time? Because, I mean, you could have made that argument a couple of years ago with COVID. That wasn't a good time. Maybe before that there was a recession. That was, you know, there's never a good time, is there, for extra costs for businesses. So when is the right time, do you think, for alcohol labelling?
I think we should act in lockstep with Europe. So there is a proposal European-wide through the EU27. That's the better mechanism to do it with Europe, which won't be that far away. I think that gives us a better opportunity. We won't put ourselves at a competitive disadvantage.
Alcohol Action
in the
Ireland
meantime.
Says it's crystal clear there'll be no harmonised EU-wide labelling, that is a red herring.
Well, that's under discussion currently. There is a framework, an established framework to deliver that, and that's where I would like to see it go.
Minister Peter Burke, thank you very much for joining us.